Good morning, everybody. Thanks so much for being here this morning. If I have not gotten the chance to meet you yet, would love to do that. My name is Aaron. I'm the pastor here at the campus. One thing I just want to draw your attention to that's coming up is on August 30th, right after this service, we have our Discovery course going on. And if you are newer here, if you're looking to connect with the campus or even considering making it your home, that is the number one step that I would recommend for you. It'll give you a chance to hear a little bit about why we exist, how we exist, what we want to do, kind of the mission of the church. Give you a chance to ask any questions that you have and even meet a few other people who are making the campus their home or trying to make that decision. So we'd love for you to plan for that August 30th, right after service. We have lunch for you. We'll watch the kids for you, have lunch for them too. So let us know. You can either write that in on a card, say, hey, sign it up for me and put it in the box in one of the entrances here. You go to the welcome desk and sign up, or you can even sign up through the weekly if you're getting that. You can scan the QR codes and sign up that way. So however we can help you get signed up for that, but that is definitely the best first step for you to take here at the campus, as we've only been around for a little bit, if you're looking to get to know us here. And if there's any other way you want to get connected, whether that's serving on a team, if you want to make Grace Church your home that way, if you want to give, all of those things are available. You can let us know if you have any questions about it, but we would love to help connect you in that way. And also check out anything else going on at the campus through the weekly, things coming up here, all of that. But wanted to draw your attention specifically there to Discovery. The upside is you get free lunch. Downside is you got to listen to me for like another 30 minutes. But I would love to hear from you at that too, as most of what we spend our time doing. So that is available for you. I just wanted you to know about that. We're going to be wrapping up a series this week as well. We have been in a series the last couple weeks here talking about being ambassadors for Christ. Been a phenomenal time. If you miss any of that, you can jump on our YouTube channel and watch those and catch up with us. If you're just jumping in today, that's totally fine as well. But we are coming to a close here in the series, and we've really kind of turned the corner from talking about really how this is a part of who we are when we follow Christ. It's our mission with Christ. It's bringing the gospel to the world. And last week, we kind of turned a practical corner on how we're going to do that. And today, I want to leave us with a picture of how we can do this again, and specifically the way that Christ wrote this. But first, I want to remind us about what we're talking about here. The first, what I want to point your attention to here is this passage in 2 Corinthians 5. If you want to turn there with us, you can. There's Bibles in front of you in the seats there. If you don't have one with you, you can go on your phone, or you can just follow along on the screen here. If you don't have a Bible, the one in front of you, we'd love for you to take that home, make it yours, so you have a copy of God's Word with you. But 2 Corinthians 5:20, this is where we've been camping out here in this series. It says this: so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. And so we've been talking about this, kind of internalizing it, beginning to understand how we could do it. And where I want to land us today is, I think when we start talking about this, I know when I talk about it, and even when I go to do it, I feel really good about it when I get the practical information. When I actually go to do it sometimes, or I get back to normal life, what starts happening is I start questioning whether I'm the person that God wanted to do that. And I'm sure I'm not alone in that. Maybe you feel that way too, where you have a few insecurities about it. You're like, I'm really new to this. I don't know if my life is in a place where I should be doing this. I don't know how to do this with my life where it is right now. I'm a little unsure. And what I want us to talk about today, where I'm going to help us to land, is what I want you to know and walk with is the power of Christ. When we carry this message as ambassadors, that's mostly going to be known in some of our weakest moments. When we feel the most inadequate, when we feel the most unworthy of carrying that message, is oftentimes where Christ works the most. And we see this over life. There are just the way that God chooses to work. I'm not 100% why it's always this way. But oftentimes, in just really unlikely ways, in unlikely situations, is where God is made the most known through us. And I have an example of that today that I'm going to show you a video in a second, a story of a couple actually from another one of our campuses. If you didn't know, we're part of a bunch of campuses, and the Akron East campus, I would have came from there to plant this campus. This is a couple from that campus I would have seen often on Sundays, know them really well. Tony is the guy's name that you'll see in the story. He would sit in the same place every week, and one time I preached and said, I was making fun of the lines on the road where they're doing construction. I was like, they're kind of all over the place, and he goes, I paint the lines on the road. I was like, whoa. And he's a big dude. He's like 270. I mean, he's like way bigger than me. I was like, all right, they're fine, actually. You know, I rethought about it, and it's good. They're actually were great. And so you're going to hear from them in a minute. And here's what I want you to pay attention to. This is an incredible story of how God used them as ambassadors for Christ in a really unlikely situation, one that they would have never expected. You'll hear what we heard from them as we were checking in on them in this time was hear how God was working in tons of ways and something they didn't expect, where they felt physically weak, emotionally weak, just almost totally helpless. And in that time, I think we would often wonder, like, what do you do in that time other than survive? And so what I want you to do is just check out this story really quick to see how God worked in this. And then we're going to come back and talk about it a little bit. But here's a video of Tony and his wife, Danielle, and kind of their story with this.
So on May 27th, I do road construction, and I was out on a road in North Ridgeville, and I was putting a piece of equipment on a truck. I was standing next to the truck on the eastbound side of the road by the white edge line. And as I was loading the thing on the truck, a vehicle traveling westbound, so the opposite side of the road, drifted like 15 feet and hit me. And when he hit me, it launched me and threw me 32 feet into a pole.
The first miracle we got was that he was alive at the hospital. They had done some scans by the time I got there, and they said there's some signs of internal bleeding. In the morning, I was looking at him, and just he was suddenly in more pain. And his vitals started looking really strange on the monitors. And so I hit a button and they came in. And the next thing I knew, there were probably 30 people in the room with us. And they, another miracle is when our nurse went to find someone, the head of trauma surgery just overheard him telling someone else. And she came in the room and she quickly said, Danielle and Tony, she told Tony too, but he doesn't remember, but I believe that there is an internal bleed and I don't know where it is, but I need to go in. I don't believe we have time for scans. We need to go to emergency surgery. And so they took me back and let me pray over him, which I thought was going to be a private moment. So I think God made me an advocate in that moment. I don't want to act like it was like a choice. It was like survival mode to me. But the only thing I knew to cling to was Jesus in the moment. So I prayed over him and I was praying out loud. And I said, amen. And I felt an amen around me. And I turned around and all the doctors had their heads down. The doctors, nurses, anesthesiologists, they all had their heads down. And they came out and said, hey, we need to huddle. He made it through surgery. There was a bleed. It was really extensive. We had to cut out 10 inches of his bowel. But we stopped the bleed and we were like, okay, good. And she said, but at the beginning of the surgery, he aspirated on the table. And so they said, we suctioned his lungs. We put him on a ventilator. It's going to be a rough 24 to 48 hours. I said, okay, I understand. She said, we're going to have him recover in ICU. We'll come get you in about 20 minutes. And I said, okay. Well, about an hour passed and she came back out and said, the ventilator wasn't enough. We need to put him on ECMO, which is the highest level of life support you can have. Like, we were just surrounded by just amazing people. So he made it through that surgery, obviously, because he's here. And then and from there, we started to move, I think, in the right direction. So we ended up spending 3 weeks in the hospital, I think.
One of the first things I remember after being hit, actually the first thing I remember is I remember seeing people, but the first thing I remember that I spoke is Danielle, and she came over and I said, what happened? And she said, you were hit by a car at work. And I said, how's my coworkers? Are they okay? And she said, all your coworkers are fine. You were the only one that got hit. And I said, if there's a way to let the guy know who hit me, let him know I forgive him. And right off the bat, I felt like God gave me a second chance. And what I need to do is I need to do my best to be an advocate for God and talk about him to people. And, you know, when I woke up, I had like 67 text messages. Most of them were people from work who weren't believers or aren't believers. So first thing I would text them back, let them know I was awake, I was doing okay. And I'd always say, God carried me through this and still is carrying me. God has a plan for us, and God, he doesn't make mistakes. He knows what he's doing.
We said multiple times in there, like, if one person in this hospital comes to know Jesus because Tony got hit, then it's all worth it. And there were so many people. Like, people came to see Tony from the other floors, which was just amazing. I think they had seen this, you know, strong man who had gone through this horrible thing, and they were amazed that he was recovering the way that he was.
He's using me in a way to tell my story, to give all the glory to him, and let people know that he gave me a second chance.
I don't know that we'll ever know the extent of the people that were impacted by Tony. And Tony is quick to, anytime somebody says, you're so lucky, he'll always say, I'm not lucky. That was Jesus.
Story there, hearing from them, seeing what God has done in just an incredibly difficult situation that was not really solved until towards the end there. And we thought it was important to just share that story because it was a real example of someone just in stride saying, we're just going to cling to Christ. And so much of this incredible story, as I talked with Ryan, I was texting him to get updates on Tony, like to see how's he doing, like, you know, what is going on. What they were sharing with Ryan and the rest of the team at Akronese was that God was using it just in ways they could have never imagined. By the people putting around him, you hear the story about the doctors just happening to be in the room when she's praying, being impacted by that. And just the constant ways that Christ showed up in a time where they felt a little bit helpless. And what we begin to realize is, as we go to share Christ, as we operate in really what God has called us to do, that many of the moments where God is going to show up is going to be in our weakness. And for them, in this moment of weakness is where Christ really showed up in a huge way. I love this verse, the way 2 Corinthians puts it. This it says, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and the insults, the hardships, the persecution, the troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And you see this with their story in the context, and you begin to realize that in the moment, they couldn't really see it. At the end, they're looking back and they're saying, man, in that, we see what God was doing now. We see that when Tony said that wasn't just luck, this was Jesus who did that. We look back, and it's why Paul in this instance would be able to look back and say that in his weakness is where he's the strongest, because Christ is able to show up the most. And moving through life, we're going to have some difficulty, right? This verse talks about it here. We're going to face that as we go to share Jesus, whether that's difficulty that's happening in circumstances in our life, whether we're feeling a certain way, whether we're new to following Jesus and our life doesn't necessarily look the way that maybe we want it to look, or right now it we're like, I don't know how I could possibly share Jesus right now in this thing that I'm going through, this thing that I'm trying to sort out. I love this verse too, when it goes on in the passage in 2 Corinthians, where we look and see what actually Christ is doing in our lives, what's actually happening here. I had part of this in an earlier part in the series, but here's what this verse says in 2 Corinthians 4. The Bible would put it this way. This is what's happening in our life. We now have this light in our hearts if we follow Jesus, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. Goes on to say, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. We live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies, so we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. So Paul here is talking about all the things that he's been through personally. They've done great things for the gospel and made it through difficult times. If you read a little bit of Paul's story, you see that he was often in trouble. And he's speaking about this, and it resonates with us here in this life because often we're in trouble too. But Paul gives this great perspective where he's like, remember the treasure in the pot here. And here's what I would say is we're moving through life and we're trying to make sense of how do I follow Jesus? How do I share the love of Christ when my life looks this way or this thing's happening to me? Here's what I would say. This advice that Paul gives here is don't confuse the jar with the treasure. Don't confuse the jar with the treasure. And here's what I mean by this. Paul's saying you're going to have persecution. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have times where you're crushed. You're knocked down. Like all these things are going to happen. Hard times are happening. If they haven't, they're going to come, right? We kind of know that. Things are going to happen like with Tony and Daniela. They weren't even expecting, right? It was a total accident. But Paul would say this, don't confuse the jar with the treasure because we live in a world that might tell us that our life has to be really put together to be successful at life, right? I don't even think the church world's totally excluded from that. You could go to church and walk away with the idea that your life needs to look better. You could walk away with that. We live in a world where we think about ourselves as a fragile clay jar that's maybe cracked because it's not perfect, that tells us we should just make those go away. Pretend like they don't happen, right? Make our life look perfect. Make the job look perfect. Make it look like you have a side hustle that makes you $3,000 a week on the side. Like you don't have any problems. Make the relationship look perfect. All of it, right? That I'm capable of everything. I don't need any help. All of that stuff, right? We live in a world that would actually say that's the way we should do it, right? We can walk away with that. But here's, when we think about this and we think about this passage, the point of following Jesus, the point of sharing the gospel is not to make people look at a really nice looking jar. That's not the point. We're not following Jesus so that the clay pot looks the best that it can. Right? Remember, it's about the treasure inside, which is the gospel, which is that Jesus died for us, that he's forgiven our sins. That's the thing that's going to shine through our life in these circumstances. This passage shows us, and Paul shows us, that it's not about just getting people, causing people to see how good our jar is. That is not the point of life. It's not the point of following Jesus. It's about letting people see how great the treasure is. And when we walk through life and we're saying, I'm going to be an ambassador for Christ, you're going to get beat up a little bit. There's going to be times where it's just challenging for you to believe that Jesus is going to do what he said he was going to do in your life because you're feeling crushed. You're feeling under the weight of sin, under the weight of circumstance, whatever it is. It's just going to be hard. Sometimes you might be actually persecuted for that. You might actually walk into situations where things are happening. There's pain involved. But the power of Christ is often on display in our weakest moments. This is where we start to think, well, the jar is cracked. It's broken. There's some things happening here. The treasure is when it's going to be greatest on display here. And so as we begin to walk into difficulty or we even prepare for it, we begin to understand this when you read the Bible, that we look through the Bible and God often used people who were massively imperfect, who were in massively imperfect circumstances. And why does God look so great? Why is it God who gets the glory? And because he took these circumstances and he worked through them. The glory was God's to have there. God's going to use us before we feel ready, right? When we're not sure. And here's where I fall into, and I think most of us can probably identify with this. Most of the time in a difficult time or trouble or in my weakest moment, I'm just looking for relief. I'm like, when this is over, when I find relief from this, when God lets this pass, then I can tell people that great story of what God did. Then I'll be equipped with a great testimony to tell Jesus about. Like, then I'll have a thing to say. Here's what we realize. It's not always how God works. God's in the middle of it with us. When we are going through these things and this impact, God's in the middle. He's not going to say that we need to wait for this to happen. What often happens is God is not waiting for the story to be finished to reveal his power. It's revealed as the story is being written. As we were preparing this week, and I was working with the team at Akron East some on a message. We were talking about some of this, and Ryan put it this way. I had to steal it from him this week. We were like, what is it about God that he shows up in the middle of it? And that's where we see his strength. When we just feel maybe the worst, or we feel so incapable. And he put it this way, it's God's not waiting for the story to be finished to reveal his glory. It's in the messy middle of that thing where God wants to show up. It's where God wants to help us along the way and see us through this. And you begin to realize this, we don't necessarily need a crisis to have a story later on. We don't necessarily need to have this great story that we could tell. What we actually need is to realize that God is going to use us in whatever our life, wherever our life is right now. Right? If we're going to let the treasure shine through the pot, I think there has to be cracks in it, right? I mean, there has to be some way for God to be shown in a situation. And as we're in difficult times, it's hard for that to be happening. Not every story necessarily has to be told, right? I don't talk to everybody about, you know, I'm not like, well, my air conditioner. I did tell people about that because it was really hot that weekend. It's like, you got to know why I have sweat stains everywhere. But not every story is like, you won't believe how God, sometimes it is. What happens is whatever we're doing, wherever we're living, whatever circumstance we're in is where Christ becomes in, and we get to use those things to point people to Christ. We don't need necessarily a Christ moment. What we want is to invite God into these dark moments, because in these moments where we feel this way, where it's difficult, is often where the most opportunity is going to be for God to see us there. He wants to meet us where we are in that. And the reason I bring this up is because oftentimes I think we might exclude ourselves for these reasons. Well, when this is over, when I find the relief, when I work this out and see if I actually can trust Jesus through it and I can celebrate that with people and be like, look, I still follow Jesus during this. Oftentimes, like you hear Tony and Danielle say, I think she said this that I loved, I thought about the rest of the time. She's like, it wasn't a decision I made to be like, I'm going to use this moment. She's like, all I knew to do was to cling to Jesus. That's all I knew to do. I'm guessing if we asked her, did you feel really equipped for that moment? She'd probably be like, no. Could you think clearly in that moment? Probably not. But what happened is she clung to Jesus. And I don't know what your situation is today or what you're coming out of or what God has brought you through. Here's what I know. When we're in difficult times, it's actually the perfect time. Your life today is the perfect moment for Jesus to begin to work through you. Whether you're in difficulty, whether you're in pain, because here's what I know about Jesus that's true. In Psalm 34, it says this, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. So if you're in one of the most difficult moments of your life, it's to be expected. God is going to show up there because we're going to have problems, right? Maybe you're like, Aaron, I've got so many problems in my life. I have some bad news for you. It's true for my life too, is we're going to have problems until the day we meet Jesus. I know that we like to convince ourselves, and I like to convince myself that I could just make a little more money, if I could just get this thing, if this person would go away and stop talking to me, if this person would talk to me more, if I could win the lottery, like fill in the blank. If I could just do that, then my problems would go away. And we lie to ourselves every day about it because it's just not true. Right? We're going to have problems. We're going to be brokenhearted. Our spirits are going to be crushed. They're forever. We're going to have limitations. Like you have limitations on your life. I have limitations on mine. There are other people who share those, who don't have to feel alone when you have limitations. In our problems, God can show up. And when we talk to people about, yeah, I feel the stress and the tension of money and relationship too. And I know it's maybe not going to go away. So I'm trying to trust God the best I can. When I have limitations, like, yeah, I actually have that limitation on my life too. And so I'm with you, and I don't really know how to make sense of it yet, but I'm trying to trust God. See, it shows up there. If you're sitting here and you're like, Aaron, I'm really working through some stuff, I'll tell people about Jesus later. That is the time. As you're working through something, we expect that people would be working through things. We expect that there's some cracks in the pot that we're not going to be able to put together. Right? They might feel shattered at times. We're gonna feel that. You might be inactively, you're like, Aaron, I'm fighting addiction. I'm breaking a habit. I just don't know if I'm like the type of person that should tell someone about Jesus. That is where Jesus is made great. Because remember, it's not about you and me. Hey, I'm fighting this addiction and I know God is with me. I'm working hardest I've ever worked. It's been a battle, it's been a tension, but the Lord is with me and I trust him and I know that he's with me in the middle of this. People don't say that sort of thing normally. People don't know there's hope in that. Your weakness may not be as dramatic. You might feel like, Aaron, I mean, my life has some difficulties, but mostly it's like, you know, which place do I pick to eat tonight because I don't feel like cooking dinner. You're like, my life is not that exciting. It doesn't have to be a crisis. It doesn't have to be that dramatic because you might just be in the place where you're trying to work out why in my life does it feel like things are going okay, but I actually feel kind of stuck and I'm watching all these other people achieve these things. And I'm struggling to not just compare my life to theirs. Why do I feel like my life has to be there when this, like what's going on here? That is a difficulty that God can show up in. If you feel like you're just like, Aaron, I have questions about faith and I don't know how to, you're like, just let God show up in that. When you talk to people at church, including me, you're like, I've got some serious questions about faith and I want to trust God. I'm trying to solve these things and I want to see him show up in that. And you begin to talk with other people about that. The value, right, of knowing these things is not just that you have a great story and it's compelling to people. That's not what it is. What it is that you and I would come to a place in our lives where we realize that everything happening in our lives is about the treasure inside. If I want transformation, that's how it has to happen. If anything good is happening in my life, it's a product of Christ shining through me, and I give the glory to him. I love that's how Tony ended it. He's like, we don't know how many people are impacted by this. We don't know if any of them accepted Christ, but what we know is that it's God who showed up and he gets the glory for what's happening here. And if that had to happen for that, so be it. You know, we're going to be in different spots with that, but realizing that, man, we don't have to be perfect to begin to share the love of Christ with people. Our life doesn't have to feel good enough. I love my grandpa is such a good example to me of this over the years. He's 94 now, and often a lot of times, like I've spent some time with him in the hospital now. He's 94, so you just like there's a stage in life where you spend a lot of time with people you love in a hospital or a doctor's waiting room, like that sort of thing. And it's amazing to watch him. It's not a crisis moment. They're like, dude, you're 94. You've been diagnosed with blood cancer. Like your heart isn't working that great. As it wouldn't for a 94-year-old. It's nothing groundbreaking. But they'll come in and just say, how you feeling? And he's like, well, I'm in a little pain, but the Lord's in control. I know where my destiny is. It's just what he's doing is he's like, I've just decided to let my life be attached to Jesus. I'm not waiting for a moment to just have a moment where like, wait, before I go, you know, it's just who he is. And he's somehow embraced that. And I think for each of us, as we look at the end of the series and how to take this forward, I know that there's many of us who are going to exclude ourselves from this work. Some of you are like, yeah, Aaron, I'll spend a few more Sundays in church before I share Jesus. I'm like, you don't need to do that. It can be right now. Aaron, I really need to sort this out. I'm like, why don't you tell people about Jesus while you're doing that? as you live your life, as you make your way through difficulty, you need to know this, that no matter what you're going through, God uses people exactly like you. God uses people exactly like me. And I'm going to say it again for those of you that said, except for me. God uses people exactly like you in the circumstance that you're in the distance and the tension you feel between you and God. When you come into relationship with Christ, he is going to begin working it. He's going to meet you right there. Your life's going to change, that's for sure. If you're working through a difficult time, self-inflicted or one that's a total surprise, God is going to meet you there and work with you in that. Because God desires that every single person would be in relationship with him and that they would work alongside him in the gospel. I'm pretty convinced that the worst version of us sharing Jesus with people is just a bunch of people whose lives look really put together. What I've realized over the years is if my life is perfect, what do I need Jesus for? As I talk to people who think their life is perfect or they're like, I don't really need anything, they don't need Jesus either. It's those of us who run into difficulty, who when we see someone else work through difficulty and keep their faith, when we see people acknowledge God in the hard times, not just in the blessings and the health, wealth, and all, it's like that's not even a thing. It's when people like you and I move through the tensions of life and we choose to give the glory to God, just like Tony and Danielle did. It's not if you and I will have an opportunity like that. You do, because you live a life on this earth. It may not be exactly like that one, but there are people in your life who just need you to share your life, to tell the story of what you're going through right now, to get over the shame and the guilt and to just live in the light a little bit. We've done some damage there, and there's a piece of church where we're like, well, we want to say that we have sin in our lives, but I don't really want anyone to ask me any questions about it. I'd rather not talk about it at all. Listen, I'm with you. It's not the most fun thing. But when people know that we're imperfect, that we have some cracks in the clay pot, and God is showing through, hey, this is a way that I'm imperfect. I messed this up, and God has been working in me. This is what I came out of. This is a story that God's done, and I just want God to be made great through that. Here's what I'll tell you. Whatever place you're in, whatever pain you're in, is that when you have pain and difficulty, God is never going to waste that. It exists because of sin in our world, of brokenness, us choosing sin, other people choosing sin, but God will never waste pain in your life. If you bring that to Christ, he's the one who can transform it. So here's where I want to leave us today as we think about taking this kind of out into our lives, is you need to know, if you know Jesus and you have a relationship with him and you've asked him to forgive you of your sins, you are equipped to go share with people. You might not always know what to say. We can figure that out together. You can work on it. But if you have the Bible and you actually have a relationship with Jesus, you're ready to talk about your life and be honest with people. Share the love of Christ with them. Everything else will come. You can learn to do it. You'll gain the experience of it, right? I talked about massive failure week one when I tried to do this the first time, right? God's grace is enough for you and for me too. So if you're a follower of Jesus, here's what I'd love for you to do with this, is to ask yourself the question, like, where right now, if I think about sharing my faith with other people or living with an ambassador every day, I'm not just talking about going out on a walk and being like, I have to share Jesus with 5 people. I'm like living your life as an ambassador through your life. What right now is maybe the number one thing that keeps you from it? Do you feel too seen to share something? Like, I like to be known, Aaron, but not that much. I'd rather people don't know the bad parts about me. Do you feel shameful? Do you need to give that to Christ? Do you feel not equipped for it? You're like, I've never done it before, and I don't think God wants to use me. Do you feel scared? Like, what is it that is keeping you from maybe living this way? And saying, God, whatever you're doing, be in the middle of it with me. God, be with me as I do this. As a follower of Jesus, what is the thing that's maybe keeping you from doing that? Right? Often we can follow Jesus and kind of exclude ourselves from that. Or we might just be like, I don't think that's my problem. I think that's God's problem. And I'm going to tell you, when we came into relationship with Jesus, that became our problem, right? Because we are now ambassadors for Christ. It's the mission of Christ. If you're not a follower of Jesus, here's what I would say to you is that you need to know that there is no perfect time to follow Jesus. Your life today might be the thing that's keeping you from coming into a relationship with Jesus. I know that I've been there too, where it's like, yeah, maybe once I figure that piece out, I'll start a relationship with Jesus, or I'll take my faith serious again, or I'll get the kids into church, because I wouldn't want them to know how my life is and then take them to church. That'd be. Here's what I want you to know. What your life looks like today is the place where Jesus wants to meet you, because the hard news is we're never going to do it ourselves. The things I try to fix all by myself, probably the things you're trying to fix by yourself, it isn't working. It hasn't worked. It's a merry-go-round. It's a highs and lows game. You're probably not going to do it. You probably know that. Jesus wants to meet you in that. In the way that Christ makes himself known to us in that moment when we're kind of at our worst and our weakest, it might be the first time you meet Jesus, to know that he wants to meet you in the middle of the worst thing you can imagine. Wherever you are today, he wants to meet you there. God has bigger plans for your life. He has change in mind of the way that you live, of the things that you value, all of that. But it starts with you today coming to Christ and saying, I need you in my life. Everyone in this room who would know Jesus should be able to look at you and say, I needed Jesus in a desperate way. That's the realization I came to. It's what we all share in common. The freedom that we have in Christ is that we are no longer bound by what we can produce or overcome or pay for, because Christ is the one who paid for our sin. He overcame it. And so now the rest of our life is letting Christ live through us, changing the things I value, changing the way I live. And God's going to give us freedom from some things. I don't know how long the road's going to be, but I know that God's going to be there with you, and to be with the God who loves you, rather than walking it alone, trying to figure out if you can do it. Man, what a freedom to know that the God of the universe took the time to love us. So as we do this, if you're a follower of Jesus, consider those things. If you're not a follower of Jesus, consider if there's a relationship to be had there with Jesus right now, today. If you want to make that decision, you just have to tell him that. You can love if you'd let one of us know too. It'd be our joy to walk with you. You can write it in a card. You can grab me or someone you saw on stage here in the lobby. We'd love to walk with you on next steps with that. But here's what I would say is start to pray about these things. See what God is going to do there. I want to invite the band up to give us a little time to think about this. During this first song, what I'd love for you to do is just to connect with the Lord on what it is that he desires to do with this. God, are you calling me to in a difficult situation, to let you work more through that, to give you the glory through it, not to try to fix it, but to say, I'm clinging to God, and that be what you start with? Or do you need to have a relationship with Jesus and you've never had one? Or you've never begin to take that seriously? And any point where you can start today. So what I want you to do is just connect with the Lord on that. Let me pray for us. You can do that. Lord, thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you that in our weakness here on earth, Lord, in our shortcomings, in our failures, in our worst, Lord, you don't change. You are still greater than everything, more powerful than everything. God, you continue to give us the gift of your grace, meeting with us in the middle of whatever we're going through. God, would you begin through your Spirit to just build into us the courage that allows us to cling to you, God, to give you the glory, to walk with you through whatever we're going through, Lord, even to the benefit of others. It's amazing, Lord, to think about if we are just faithful to walking with you each day, to saying, Lord, I need you each day, we never know what people that's going to reach. God, I pray that you would make it clear to us where we might need to begin to partner with you on this, where we might need to give you the glory through a difficult situation. And Lord, We pray that, like Tony and Danielle, it might be something we look back on and say, man, the Lord was in the middle of that. Many people know you because of where we are. And Lord, help us not to count ourselves out, not on the bench, not having a sub come in, Lord, but that right now in whatever we're going through, you would work. Lord, for those of us that maybe don't know you, I pray that you would, Lord, continue to remind us that you love us and that you want to meet us where we are. And that, God, if we will lay our sin, our troubles, and, Lord, the things that burden us and consume our minds at your feet, God, you're faithful to pick those up, to forgive us of our sin, and, Lord, to begin to walk life with us wherever we're starting. God, be with each person in this room. Give them whatever they need here today. Amen.